From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Harrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Harrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Harrogate takes the lead and wins. Harrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the table. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. He'll be back next week when he and my co-host, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, will be in sunny South Florida for the Claiming Crown, and you'll be able to hear the Claiming Crown opening day of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage presented by leading sire Kitten's Joy, who stands at Ramsey Farm. Looking forward to that trip down south, I'm sure, Jude.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get out of the gray skies here in Lexington and head to Florida. Always have a great time at Gulfstream. Claiming Crown, a magnificent event. Going to be an excellent card of racing. And they had 279 nominations for the Claiming Crown this year. Pretty cool. So,
wow.
Looking forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, over $1.1 million on the line in purse money that day. We'll go over some of those races. Megan Devine and I will go over some of those races on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview next week, as you will be you'll be busy down in Hallandale Beach, Florida. We've got an action-packed show for you this morning. A trainer who seems to be able to do no wrong right now, Ian Wilkes. He got win number 500 of his career at War Scroll on Thanksgiving Day in the fourth race at Churchill Downs. He's won four more since, including a couple of stakes races. We'll talk to Ian, who is loaded again this afternoon down at Churchill Downs. He has fun in the Goldenrod for the two-year-old fillies and the undefeated McCracken in the Grade II Kentucky Jockey Club. My co-host sometimes on Express Bet Radio on HRN, Jason Bidas, whose full-time gig is jockey agent for Kendra Carmouche. He's been in the agent business for about a dozen or so years now. Jason will stop by to talk to us about Kendrick and how he's starting over, essentially, after having Jose Lascano for close to a dozen years. Our pal Kieran McLaughlin, he unleashed a wonderful two-year-old back in October at Belmont named Tackaful, and he'll try to go from a maiden win straight to the Grade II Remsen later on today here at Aqueduct. And yesterday afternoon, Jude and I had the chance to sit down with one of our favorites, Rajiv Miraj, who is back from a couple of horrific spills in 2014 and 2015, got his first win this past Wednesday since returning to the saddle in early November. Rajiv took time out of his day yesterday. It's so hard, Jude, to get the jocks on in the morning because they're getting, more often than not, they're getting on horses.
Yeah, well, Rajiv's, right now, he's very, very popular. Everybody wants to get him on horses and have him work them. They want to, you know, support him, and he's just such a great guy. And so he was extremely busy, so we had to get a hold of him in the jocks room, which is like pulling teeth and Aqueduct after 47 calls and you know, a bunch of questions later, we finally got him on the line, which was good. But yeah, it's great to have him back and looking forward to lots more winners from him. He's such a talent.
Of course, with Jude in our Lexington studios as producer to the stars here in HR and Lee Delapina. I wish I had a dollar for every time he said Rajiv's name yesterday on that switchboard call.
Yeah, it was crazy, but that's New York. We even got to hear the lineup of on the recordings of the whole nine yards. It was crazy.
We're in the midst of, I don't want to say the last big weekend of racing, but nationally it is. Of course, next weekend, we'll always look forward to the Claiming Crown. But, you know, that's down at Gulfstream. Right now, we're in the midst of a big weekend all around the country. Some great racing yesterday. And I don't know about you, Jude, but I didn't make a wager in the Clark, but I could not have been happier to see my pal Gunrunner get his first Grade One win.
Well, I actually bet on Gunrunner yesterday. I was a little disappointed in the price.
You were happy too.
I was happy too, but I played Gunrunner. I was very high on him. He's a horse that's just gotten really, really good in the last, you know, 6-8 weeks, and I think he's going to have a big year next year. He's going to be a very important horse. I read this morning on Twitter, Steve Asmussen said he came out of the race perfect, and he's going to be heading down to Fairgrounds, a track that he loves. But
loves it down there, yeah.
You know, Jenny Reese was the one that championed Gunrunner during the Triple Crown Trail. She was in love with him, and I think partially because he came from New Orleans, and Jenny's husband's from New Orleans, and she was right about that horse, but he was kind of like a baby Huey. He was winning those races in New Orleans because he was good, not because he knew what he was doing. But as the year progressed, he got more and more savvy about racing, and you could just tell the way he was coming up to the race that he had grown into himself, that he was now a man. You know, he was in the NBA instead of being a high school basketball player, and he's going to continue to improve, I think, and Steve's done an outstanding job keeping him in one piece all year long.
Yeah, danced a lot of dances. It's funny, if Arrogate doesn't come along, that win by Gunrunner yesterday would have made for quite an interesting 3-year-old male eclipse picture. Because at this point, you're already, Arrogate, I think, has the award locked up. Which means a horse that didn't win a Triple Crown race is going to win the award. And, of course, we've seen that happen before. It happened with Will Take Charge just a few years back. But, somebody, one of the classic winners is going to be left off of the ballot with Arrogate already on there. And you would have to, I think you could argue that Gunrunner belongs on the ballot, too.
Yeah, I think you could make a case for that. He's, like you said, he's danced a lot of dances, and he's done quite well. And lately, against the older horses, he seems to have excelled. So it's obvious that he's a late developing horse, and he's a beautiful horse, very talented, and comes from a great stable. So I think he'll have some support for sure in some of the voting, and he's probably a long shot to win it, obviously, but he's going to get some support from a few people.
I'm sure we'll be talking more about Gunrunner, many, many equine forums to come. The Baron might not be here, but that doesn't mean you get away from hearing him. Before we hit the break, here is Mike Penna with a few words about MLS Power Sports.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here to tell you all about my friends Mark and Trish Smith at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. I recently purchased an ATV and trailer from MLS Power Sports, and I can tell you firsthand, they'll greet you with a friendly and knowledgeable staff, and they're passionate about off-roading, whether it be for work or play. MLS Power Sports is Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. Today is the final day to take advantage of their factory authorized clearance with the lowest prices of the year on 2016 models and rebates up to $3,700 on non-current models. It is a great time to get the best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. Visit MLSPowerSports.com and stop by and see them today.
Let's take our first break. When we come back, the white-hot Ian Wilkes will join us. Big day on Thursday, another couple of wins yesterday, and he has a couple of good-looking two-year-olds later on this afternoon down at Churchill Downs. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dyna Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee is one of the newest additions to the Claiborne Farm roster. The Don Handicap winner traveled around the world and back, competing against the best of his generation. He earned multiple 100-plus buyer speed figures on both dirt and turf, with strong finishes in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, Stephen Foster, Dubai World Cup, and Woodbine Mile. Retiring to stud with more than $2.3 million in lifetime earnings. Lee at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Thatcher Street comes on now. Thatcher Street with a 3-wide bid for the lead off the turn. One go, all go right there. Pluvin's crying out for racing room. Dubai Sky fights on. Coco Montag lead down the center of the course. The Pizza Man with clear sailing now. 1 furlong to go. Here comes Pluvin, who comes on to take the lead. Thatcher Street fights on. Dak is slicing through in behind. Far outside, the Pizza Man continues to close. 16th left. Thatcher Street back in front. Pluvin fights on. The Pizza Man's running out of time with Taglieb. Here's the wire. Thatcher Street won it. Thatcher Street the winner. Pluvin was second, the Pizza Man was third, and Tugley was fourth.
Thatcher Street, Travis Stone on the call, gave Ian Wilkes win number 502 in the River City this past Thanksgiving Day. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and the Pontiff taking you through couple of hours of horse racing talk on a spectacular Saturday morning. A little chilly here in New York, as you would expect a couple of days after Thanksgiving. Just how's the weather down there, Jude?
It's gray and 41 degrees when I walked in the studio this morning. Not terrible, but it's certainly not what you'd like to see when you leave the house. I'm a blue sky guy, so anyway, it is what it is.
Well, about an hour from Lexington is Churchill Downs, and the weather does not seem to be bothering our first guest of the morning. In fact, right about now, nothing seems to be bothering Ian Wilkes, as he is on absolute fire to finish out 2016. Ian, welcome to the Equine Forum. It's Anthony Stabile and Jude Fell. Thanks for some time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You've just been killing them. Absolutely. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, too. I mean, you know, I'm so happy for you. It's just fantastic to watch. And you got, speaking of blue skies, more on the horizon.
Well, you hope so. It just feels like I'm dreaming. You know, if you don't wake me up yet. I just want to, I'm enjoying this dream.
win number 500 earlier on the card Thursday with War Stroll. I'm sure one of the most memorable of your career.
Yeah, well, boy, you know, 500, you know, that's, you start to think and you start to look at the guys, look how many good horsemen have won 500 and have won 1,000, you know. It's just a, you know, to be start even, I'm not even halfway, not even inched into what those guys can do.
Well, you haven't been training as long as a lot of the guys that you worked for Carl for so long, and you kind of went out on your own later in life. You didn't start on your own when you were, you know, 20 something years old. So that's a tremendous accomplishment, and it's for me. I love the way you train. I love the way you do things old school, and you know, you're never in a rush with the horse, and it's really great to see these horses, you know, all come into it now at the end of the year. They've had their time to develop, and it's really a thing of beauty, really.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that because I love it. You know, I just, you know, what I really enjoy is watching the horses develop, you know, is watching them come along. And you have to have, and the first thing, and you know, Jude, is you have to have owners. You have to have the right owners to be patient. And, you know, don't have to win every start. You know, they know where our goal is, you know, trying to build and win the right race, build asset value in them horses. And that's the fun thing about it.
Talking with trainer Ian Wilkes, who's having a solid year, but a fantastic last few days, especially in, like Jude said, more on the horizon. Horizon comes up quickly today. In fact, a couple of two-year-olds closing weekend down at Churchill Downs. I'm sure you're sad to see Churchill closing with the run you've been on.
Yeah, it's home. You know, it's home here. No, I don't want it to stop. I need it to keep going.
You start with you have fun in the Grade Two Golden Rod. It'll go as race 9 later on today. This is a filly that ran a respectable third in the Grade One Alcibiades last time out. She won her debut. She's been in the Graded Stakes company since. What made you guys fight the urge to go out to the Breeders' Cup?
I don't think my filly was ready for the Breeders' Cup. I think it would have been more detrimental to run her there, just to go there. You know, it's expensive to go. And just to go and to run a race, I didn't need that, you know. And to me, for Dennis Farkas, who owns the filly, it's his birthday today. If I can win the Golden Rod for him and run big here, that'll mean more than go out to the Breeders' Cup and get beat, you know, because I just didn't think she was quite mentally ready for the Breeders' Cup, this filly.
And it's nice you get to stay in your own backyard as well, her home track. And she's come along very nicely. It's always, when you win with a first-time starter, you automatically know that the horse is a runner, right?
Yeah. You know, I like to see if they're good enough, they're fit enough to run, but if they can win, I know I've got some improvement in them, and that's what I'm looking at. And she was able to win first out, and boy, she's a model of consistency. You know, her races have just been, she's just so consistent in what she does. She's due to win one of these races.
She's coming off a little bit of a freshening in here. What have you seen in her in the last 6 or 7 weeks that gives you some confidence going into the Golden Rod today?
solid. She's just been solid. Timing is, her timing's been impeccable, you know. I just hasn't missed a beat, you know, with this filly. She's just been, everything's just fell into place for her. I got no excuses going in, and it's just whether we're good enough to beat them. And, yeah, everything's just come together for her today.
A solid bunch lined up in the Golden Rod. Lovely Bernadette off a three-race win streak. The Cassie Bond will be represented by Dream Dancing. Daddy's Little Darling was second in the Alcibiades, fourth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Certainly Fun could be a part of that mix and try to give Dennis Farkas, her trainer, a win on his birthday. Later on in the card, Ian McCracken, and this is the time of year. The first Kentucky Derby future pool wager is up and running at Churchill Downs. You have a good-looking son of one of my favorite horses of all time, one of the best horses I've ever seen, Ghost Zapper, a perfect two-for-two, a little bit of a class test and distance test for him today as he tries Great at Stakes Company and goes around two turns for the first time.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, the horse hasn't done a thing wrong. He, you know, some horses just, you know, you find out where you belong, what you can do. But then there's some horses that just give you confidence in what you do. It doesn't matter what you do with them. They just instill confidence in you. And this is one of them type of horses. You know, you watch him work. You just feel so good about him. You know, you watch him, and then you watch him work. Sometimes he'll give you goosebumps watching him work because he just gives you that sort of feel, that sort of that aura about him.
That Best of the Morning on November the 15th, that's kind of un-Ian Wilkes-like to go 59-2. That's not your usual style. He must have done that super easy, huh?
He did. He did it very easy, in hand. So, and as Carl always told me, you know, he always said, good horses work fast, you know, because sometimes I'd come back, oh, man, this horse worked too fast. He said, you've got to realize, he said, good horses work fast. If they do nothing, if they work any slower, they're not doing it.
Yeah, I always said trainers secretly love fast works. They might complain to their exercise rider that they went too fast, but inside they're going, yes, this horse can really run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in the back of your mind, yeah, something wrong with
it. You mentioned Carl Nafsker, of course, Hall of Famer. I read that you and the missus will be going back to the native Australia for a few weeks. Around here, when somebody goes on vacation, everybody picks up the slack. But you get to lean a little bit on a Hall of Famer. I read that Carl Nafsker is actually going to be pinch hitting for you while you're gone.
Oh, yeah. He's great, you know. And Carl's still got a couple horses in training. And he comes and goes, you know, in the mornings about when I need to take some time off. As a standard joke around the barn, I'm the only guy in America with a Hall of Fame assistant. You know, so that's a standard joke, and we have a lot of fun with that.
That's what I was going to say, Ian. You're going to make me look bad. Mike's going to realize that when he goes on vacation, he reaches out for me. He's going to look at you, and you go and get a guy that won two derbies and is in the Hall of Fame. You're making me look bad, man.
You'll get there.
What do we have to look forward to? I know you run a lot of horses at Tampa in the winter, Gulfstream Park as well. Obviously, you're going to split the string again, or you're going to base it one place?
Yeah, no, I'm going to go to Tampa with a few, and go to Palm Meadows with the majority of them, and I'll race at Gulfstream in Tampa for the winter. As I always said, I'm a fair weather trainer. These other places are a little too cold for me, so I go down there and just keep doing what I try and do, you know, develop horses and keep them going the right way.
Well, you've been on a great roll, and we certainly don't want it to stop, especially this winter in Florida. We need some horses to bet on, and I just assume they're yours. So,
yeah, no, I do have some nice two-year-olds coming through, so that makes it exciting. It makes it easy to get up in the morning.
Well, I was going to ask you about McCracken. He was a bit of a late starter. Didn't debut until October 2nd, and he got that Street Sense victory. Well, I would assume the Street Sense victory is when you're first realized just how good he could be.
Yeah, you know, he come in before he first raced. It's funny, I never usually win first time out, but for some reason this year I won a few times. You know, I think just a little better horse. I was very confident with this horse coming first start, just the way he worked coming into the race. I was very confident that he would win first time out. He just is a different kind of horse the way he worked. And the reason he got a little later start, you know, just, two-year-old stuff, you know, just don't get in a hurry, little thing, just let him make sure he's okay and then go forward with him and let him take me where he's going instead of me trying to put him there. And now he's in that position taking me to these places at the moment, and I just got to guide him.
Well, you've done a great job with him so far. Best of luck today. Thanks for some time this morning. Keep the roll going. It's been pretty remarkable one the last few days down at Churchill Downs.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And let's hope I keep dreaming.
Good job.
Right. Ian Wilkes on a roll down at Churchill Downs. He has fun in the Goldenrod and McCracken in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. This time of year, you're always looking for the good two-year-old. Kentucky Derby future wager well underway. We'll see if McCracken can turn into a two- or three-year-old legend. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This tidbit of thoroughbred racing lore covers a time span. A time span, in this case, being the career of a horse which was a record setter while racing, but whose credentials as a sire stamped his name in capital letters on the now yellowing pages of recorded thoroughbred racing history. Calumet Farm purchased this horse as a yearling in 1936 at the Keeneland sale for $14,000 from Coldstream Studs Consignment. As a performer on the racetrack, he was good enough to win the Widener, Bluegrass, and Kenner Stakes, the Thornton Memorial, and the Autumn Handicap. At Keeneland, just a stone's throw from Calumet, he set track standards for 1 1/16 miles and 1 1/8 miles. In 27 starts, he had 10 wins, 7 seconds, and 2 thirds. That composite was accrued in 4 years of racing. He entered stud in 1944, a pittance, $750. But that quickly shot up when Twilight Tear and Duranza became successful on the racetrack as two of his progeny. These two were resultant of his first crop to race. He led the sire list 5 times, 1947, 48, 49, 52, and 53. He ranked second on the sire list 3 times, third once, fifth once, and eighth once. At the time of his death in 1964, he had been matched only by Starshot and the legendary Nasrullah as a leading sire. He was the very first stallion who's get over $1 million in a single season, and he did it in back-to-back years in 1946 and 47. His get included 28 $100,000 winners, and he sired 358 foals, of which 268 of them won. To the end of his final year at stud, his offspring had accounted for 1,723 wins. He was the daddy of the consummately superb Citation, the solid-performing, hard-knocking Coal Town, and the quintessential filly Bewitch, all from a single year's crop. Bewitch and Twilight Tear were two of America's very best mares of all time. Our subject's thoroughbred sired two other Kentucky Derby winners in addition to Citation in 1948. He was the sire of Hillgale, who won in 1952, and Iron Liege, who won in 1957. For 5 years, from 1951 through 1956, his get held all 3 individual money-winning championships. Bewitch as a mare, Armed in 1947, and Citation in 1948 were Horses of the Year, and Coal Town was named Outstanding Performer of 1949. Another of his get, Bull Page, was Canadian Horse of the Year in 1951. His offspring included these divisional champions: 2-year-old Citation, 2-year-old fillies Duranza and Bewitch, 3-year-olds Twilight Tear and Citation, 3-year-old fillies Twilight Tear, Thule, Wistful, Next Move, and Real Delight. Handicap horse, Armed, twice by the way, Citation and Coal Town, handicap mares Bewitch, Twilight Tear, Thule, and Real Delight, and champion sprinter Coal Town. This remarkable thoroughbred led the list of broodmare sires for 4 successive seasons, 1958 through 1961, and the offspring of his daughters included Quadrangle, Ambipoise, Blue Scope, Bourbon Prince, Finnegan, Good Move, A Pat on the Back, Bardstown, On and On, Restless Wind, I Done, Tim Tam, Leala, Barbizon, Pucker Up, Dukes Lee, Lee Lane, and How Now. Among his get, subsequently becoming leading sires, including the likes of Citation, sire of Fabius, Silver Spoon, and many others, and Bo Max, sire of How Now and Golden Notes. At the time of his demise on June 16, 1964 at Calumet, he had established a record as the most successful sire of the 20th century in America. This son of Bulldog, out of Rose Leaves by Ballot, who left many memories, records, and a statue next to his gravesite at Calumet, and whose legend lives on to this very day, was Bull Lee.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay, and Tapazar a sterling performance today.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of Champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Far outside, Can Demps beginning to get underway.
Easy to say is drop back a bit inside Chumbalicious then. Weekend Hideaway is next. He's a good 10 from the front here as they straighten for the drive. It's Chief Lion opening up. 3.5 coming to the eighth pole now. To the outside, Can Dip is next. Imperial Hint toward the rail and trying to come on late. Measured. Chief Lion shortening up here. Can Dip's moving up. Measured flying the outside. Can Dip to win the Fabulous Strike. Looks like Measured may have been second. He's in the photo with Chief Lion. It might have been Chubbalicious for fourth.
You heard it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Can Dip holds off Measured to win the $200,000 Fabulous Strike at Penn National, the highlight of the Penn Thanksgiving Sprints. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna, of course, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld. Had a fun time covering the Zia Park Land of Enchantment Day, as well as the Penn Thanksgiving Sprints. They do a great job at both of those places. Another place they do a great job is up at Woodbine, where great purses, world-class amenities, and an extended racing season are only a few reasons why you should race your horse at Woodbine Racetrack. Woodbine offers a premier experience to all friends of the horse racing community and is committed to innovation. Playing host to over 130 live race days in both 2016 and 2017, with an average of over $500,000 offered in purses daily, the meet starts in spring and concludes in early December. You'll get access to world-class trainers, a modern backstretch, great training surfaces, and so much more. So why not share in the profit by racing at Woodbine Racetrack? To start your racing journey, visit woodbineentertainment.com/due north to learn more. Our next guest, jockey agent for Kendra Carmouche, who was aboard Can Dip, gave him a fantastic ride on Wednesday night, is my often co-host on Express Bet Radio during the week. You can hear Express Bet Radio from 3 to 6, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on Sirius 219, XM 206, and, of course, streaming live right here at horseracingradio.net. And, of course, that agent is Jason Bidas. Hey, Jason, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. What's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good. Glad you could join us.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Pleasure.
It's a lot. It's strange not having you next to me when we're doing one of these shows.
It's kind of funny because I'm standing at the rail right now by the training track watching the horses go by.
Well, you're about 9 miles away because you're at Belmont and I'm at Aqueduct. You were a longtime agent, Jay. How long actually have you been an agent?
Well, I've been an agent probably for about 15 years. I worked with horses before that, you know, for a bunch of trainers for about, I'd say, 5 to 6 years. I worked with some really good trainers, people like Chug McGahee, Alan Jerkins. So I had a nice background coming in.
Do you think that's important when you go to book mounts that you're actually a horseman, that you have experience with the animals? Because a lot of agents don't have that.
Absolutely, that's a huge advantage for me, Jude.
Why do you think it's an advantage?
Well, some of the trainers that I worked for, I know some of their patterns, so I think I can get on a horse that I might know is coming up to a big race, whereas somebody doesn't. You know, they might see a race and they might say, you know what, the horse didn't run that well that day, but meanwhile, I know that trainer that day might have just been giving the horse the race, you know, and they needed the race. So it comes into play in certain situations.
Do you scout a lot of horses? Do you go look at their legs in the paddock and that type of thing, like you, if you were a claiming trainer, say?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily leg-wise, but I look for certain things. I like to see horses when they come back after the race, actually, to see how tired they were, fatigue-wise, muscle-wise, and Aqueduct's pretty cool because all the horses come back, they come to the paddock, and they unsaddle there, so you can see everything. Belmont's so big, you know, it's hard to cover, but, you know, I'm really looking forward to this winter, you know, where we're going to be racing at Aqueduct, where I can kind of see everything and keep it under my thumb.
You've had jocks like when you started off down in the Tampa area, Ramsey Zimmerman was a guy you had for a couple of meets. But first big break, and you went on the national scene when you started, essentially got Jose Lascano started down at Tampa Bay Downs. You worked with Jose for over a decade and won some of the biggest races in this country with him.
Yeah, that was a great run, you know, incredible run. Got to ride some really good horses, you know, got to win 3 Breeders' Cups. I always remember the first one. It was the 2-year-old juvenile filly on the ROM where we beat Aiden O'Brien, had a filly named Heart Shaped, and we beat it by like a national. It was a really, really tight photo. Didn't even know if she won. And, you know, got to ride horses like Wise Dan and Royal Delta. It was like a magical mystery, you know, ride, carpet ride, really. Incredible.
Undefeated on Wise Dan, right?
Yeah, 4-for-4, I think 4 grade ones. Crazy how, you know, some of the situations occurred where Johnny, you know, unfortunately got hurt in the Breeders' Cup, and then another time had to ride in New York, you know, couldn't be at Belmont and Keeneland on the same day. And then another time, the craziest of all, was in the Woodford Reserve, where Point of Entry was supposed to run. And I guess he had a call on Point of Entry, and Charlie Lopresti decided to run Wise Dan late. And it's funny because he called me up and had some commitments in New York that day. And I was like, don't worry, Charlie, I'll be there.
True agent, you started spinning guys like Tom.
I got myself in a little trouble that day, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, I was telling a similar story the other day about I ran a horse in the $1 million Hollywood Futurity many moons ago, and that was the only $1 million race around in those days. And I had a call with Delahoussee, and then Neil Drysdale at the very last minute decided he wanted to have a horse in the $1 million race. So I lost Delahoussee, and I got Cordero, and to this day I still think if Delahoussee would have ridden my horse, he would have won. He got beat like 2 lengths or something like that, and Angel moved him a little too soon, and Eddie would have sat chilly on him, and I think we might have got the candy.
Yeah, no, I mean, in the game of inches, familiarity means a lot. People, I don't think, understand how much, you know, a rider, if he knows a horse, maybe another rider could be better skill-wise, but just knowing that animal, it means a whole lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Talking with Jock's agent Jason Bidas. He currently represents Kendrick Carmouche here at Aqueduct. You mentioned familiarity, Jay. You know, this the sports evolved, and so has the agent business, really. You and Jose parted ways after Saratoga. You bounced back very quickly and had a new rider. You picked up Kendrick Carmouche. The relationships you build with these trainers, it used to be where a trainer essentially rode the rider, but the game has evolved to the point where trainers and agents are starting to develop these solid relationships. Have you noticed that now that you're bringing a new rider in the barn, and in fact, not only a new rider, but, you know, a new rider after bringing the same one for the last 10 or 12 years?
Yeah, I mean, no question. You know, like Kendrick, he had his business that before I was, you know, working with him, and then I have my clients. So basically what I'm trying to do is bring some of my clients in, you know, with the business that he had before and kind of mesh it together and build it. But, yeah, I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, and, you know, it's going to take some time to get back to where, you know, I once was. I mean, I realize that.
Well, Kendrick's a highly skilled guy, and I think a lot of times, you know, he just needs the things to break his way, get the right stable hot or whatever that he rides for, and then everybody's going to want him. So, you know, it is a process. It takes time sometimes to get these guys rolling, but somebody with his skill set and ability, you know, it's just a matter of time before it happens.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, Kendrick is incredible, but he really understands the game. He knows dynamics. He's a horseman first, really. I mean, he came up, you know, like all of the Cajun riders did. He started riding at a very early age, 16. So he's been on the racetrack now. I think he's 32. So he's been riding for quite some time. I don't know, people don't realize that. And he's made his mark at many other tracks. And he has all the confidence in the world to come to New York and do really well. And all he'll need is the opportunity.
You guys hit the ground running. Scuba, a bit of a distance specialist. I'm sure you were not too happy that the Breeders' Cup Marathon was gone, but he won a marathon race out at the Great Race Place Santa Anita on Breeders' Cup weekend. Can Dip, you guys like have a handful of stakes already under your belt, and you've only been together 2 months.
Yeah, don't forget Macagon.
That's right, McKagan as well. Yeah, Hey, wait a second. That was a big weekend for you. I got to meet you at Semper Fame this week.
Yeah, that sounds like a deal. You got it.
Jude, you'd love this place. Semper Fame is about a mile from Jay's house in Tulip. Maybe we'll go over there when you come up for Belmont. It's a barbecue. The best way to describe it is it's like a Chinese takeout place, but they but it's barbecue food. So there's like five tables, and it's mostly takeout, but you could eat in there. Let me tell you something, man. He turned me on to this place a couple of weeks ago. Stuff is official. Not even this. It's no joke. No joke.
That sounds good. I'm up for it.
And we walk in. The owner's father, lifelong racetracker. I know the guy my whole life. Pictures on the wall. I was like, wait a second. That's your father, Pino? He's like, yep, that's him. So... racing world is a small world.
That was worth the price of admission right there.
Jay, you mentioned your first winter in New York in a very, very long time. Of course, you always went down to Florida. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm pumped up. You know, I'm a New Yorker, so this cold is nothing for me. I mean, this is actually the first time I'll be agenting in New York. The last time I was, you know, working for a trainer. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really excited, and my jets are fueled again.
All right, well, we wish you nothing but the best. We will. Megan Devine's been hanging out with me on Express Bet Radio, but she'll be leaving towards the middle of December. So we'll have you back in your Friday chair before you know it.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. I love doing the shows with you. You know.
One of the best handicappers I know, Jason Vitus, currently represents Kendrick Carmouche here on the Naira circuit. Jay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Take it easy.
All right. Jay Vitus off to walk the backstretch at beautiful Belmont Park. How about this? You ready for this one, Jude? Does not have a driver's license.
Really?
A jocks agent that doesn't drive.
Hmm. Well, there's always Uber.
Can get a... You're going to have Uber a little later. We'll wait for Uber. Uber's got about an hour before it comes on. The Uber captain will be making an appearance later with Jew. They will take you on the road to the Kentucky Derby and go over the Remsen and the KJC. Speaking of the Remsen, you'll hear the Remsen and the Cigar Mile right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network today, 3 to 4:30 p.m. It'll be me and Miss Megan Devine, exclusive to the website, horseracingradio.net. That action kicks off at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from my man Kieran McLaughlin in hour number two. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest days.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tackleful by two at the top of the stretch. Oxford Circus trying to cut into the gap now in second. And it's four lengths more back to Sethery in third. It is still Tackleful. And Tackleful has opened up a five-length lead here. Oxford Circus is second. And then comes Sethery. Tackleful, what a debut here. Under the wire, a seven-length winner in fast time, too. Oxford Circus was second, and then came Big Handsome and Sethery.
Larry Coma sounds like he was bedazzled by the performance of Tackleful on October 29th. Broker's Maiden at First Asking at 11-1. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Big A, and the Pontiff. I, of course, am filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. That was some debut for Tackleful, Jude.
Yeah, very impressive. Just made the lead and drew away. Running against the clock, as I like to say. He was 12-1, so evidently didn't give much indication that he was going to come up with a race like that. And that's always a thrill. As a trainer, we'll see what Kieran has to say about that. But when you have a horse that is just working so-so, and then you run them and they come up with a performance like that, you think, wow, there must be a little more left in the tank than I thought. And, you know, very impressive race. He gets Lasix today, and he's been continuing to train well, maybe just a little slightly better. So the light bulb, sometimes, you know, the light bulb goes on race day. Sometimes there's something about going over to the races that picks up a horse's head. And, you know, they just go, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And they do it. And they may not have shown anything before then, but that's the way Tackleful looks to me.
So this time of year, especially with the edition of Pool One coming in November now, for the last couple of years, we everybody's looking for that for the 2 year old. Everybody's looking for the Derby winner. That's just how it is. And we have Pool One's underway. 23 betting interests, actually 22 separate betting interests. Unfortunately, I know a horse you were impressed with, Not This Time, is going to come off the Derby trail and retired already with some soft tissue injury. A shame to see him fall by the wayside. So our first casualty on the Derby trail, if you will. But There are, he was number 16, so wagering suspended on him, but there's 22 others to make a wager on. Tackafull's one of them. We'll see some others like Uncontested and McCracken who are in here as well. They'll run on in the KJC at Churchill today. Will you mess around in pool number one? You have a Derby horse you're keeping an eye on already, or will you let this pool go by?
Well, you know, it's kind of my guilty pleasure playing the future bet. I don't really talk about it a heck of a lot, but I like it. I think it's kind of a fun test. I don't usually bet a lot of money, but I'm looking at I was looking at three horses. McCracken, of course, running today. If he runs well, then the price will drop, which won't be good for future betting. No Dozing is also in, so he's one that I was looking at. He's 50-1. I don't know what he dropped to. I don't usually bet on horses that aren't like, you got to be at least 20, 25-1, maybe more. I kind of look for fuzzy horses. The one horse that I think I'll probably have a couple bucks on is Saints Fan. He's 50-1 on the line. He's a horse that's owned and bred by Dallas Stewart. And Dallas Stewart in the Kentucky Derby has been very good to me with second place finishes. And one of these years, one of Dallas's horses is going to get the job done. And I really like Dallas. He's a good fella. And so I'll probably take a little bit of a flyer on Saints Fan because he's not running this weekend. He's 50-1 on the line. I don't even know what price he is currently, but the two other horses I was considering, McCracken and No Dozing, they're running today. So not going to help my price any. And if they run lousy, I probably don't want to bet on them. But I've got 64 horses as of this morning on my 2-year-old list and that I'm keeping a watchful eye on. And there's lots of possibilities yet to go. So added a few horses this
64.
Week. 64? I have 64, yeah.
Well, wow.
I play in the fantasy, the Churchill Downs Press Box Fantasy League with Mike Penna. And it's my responsibility to come up with our list. So I start like right after Saratoga.
That sounds fair.
Actually, yeah. Well, that's the way it is. During Saratoga, actually, I mean, I start looking at horses, and then after Saratoga's over, I start my list. And right now, I've got 64 horses on the list. You need a lot of horses because you're doing. We draft 12 horses or something, and there's like 14 guys that play, or 14 teams. So anyway, you got to have a few horses, and right now it's at 64. You know, we've already had some horses go by the wayside, but there's new horses coming up all the time. And after the 2-year-old season is over, December 31st, that means that everybody's that hasn't started, they don't get a good spot on the list as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, it'll continue on for another few weeks, and they'll hopefully I'll get to the point where we have 75 or 80 horses on the list, and then we'll have to decide. But I rank them all during this time period, and so we'll see what happens. Usually, I'm relatively accurate on my rankings. So,
was that our first Apollo reference?
Yes, our first Apollo. Yeah. I believe in the Apollo curse. Somebody posted on Twitter, and I don't know. I didn't check it. I'm not one of those guys, but I'm not a fact checker. But the last horse that won sprinting on the dirt at Saratoga that won the Kentucky Derby was Swale. So that's an interesting stat, I think. And maybe a good elimination tool as you're handicapping the Derby, right? So the horse that I have that's high on the list that would be, thrown out by that would be Gunavera, who won last weekend. So
But he didn't break his maiden at Saratoga, though, did he?
I think so.
Oh, it was just on the dirt?
On the dirt, yeah.
So, just on the dirt. It has nothing to do with maiden?
Break his maiden on the dirt at Saratoga. That I believe that's how it read.
I thought he broke his maiden in Florida.
I don't know.
Won the Saratoga Special. Could be wrong, though.
Is he on the list?
Let me take a look. I have the PPs right in front of me.
Yes. He broke his main at Saratoga. So it must be wins on the dirt at Saratoga.
No, he broke his main in the Gulfstream.
Yeah,
Gulfstream.
So he won the Saratoga Special. So it must be wins on the dirt at Saratoga. Must have been how it read. So
that is something I will definitely take a look into.
Yeah, check that out.
That is something I will definitely. Well, we will, when we come back for hour number two, we will talk to trainer Kieran McLaughlin. He has Tackleful in the Remsen today. He won this last year with Mohamed. We'll see if Tackleful can follow in his footsteps. Mohamed's, that is. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the Red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two-ace-back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear of Munda Hitch battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Great Bong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up in New York, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Down in our Lexington studios, it's the Pontiff, Jude Feld, and our producer to the stars at HRN, Lee Delapina. Next weekend, the Equine Forum will emanate from sunny South Florida as Mike and Jude will be down there for the Claim and Crown. Don't forget to join them as they kick off another season of the world's finest thoroughbred racing with the $1.1 million Claim and Crown Stakes down at Gulfstream Park. Admission and parking are free. Plus, get there early to receive a free 2017 wall calendar and a microfiber keychain while supplies last. Saturday, December 3rd, don't miss opening day of Gulfstream Park's championship meet. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details and race times. Welcome to the championship meet. Welcome to your playground, Gulfstream Park. A man very familiar with Gulfstream Park joins us now. And that is trainer Kieran McLaughlin. He's won his fair share of races down in the Hallandale Beach area. Today, he'll try and win the Remsen for the second consecutive year, and he will send out the super impressive debut winner, Tackleful. Kieran, thanks for joining us. It's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Colonel, you turned this one loose on October 29th. I was standing in a pumpkin patch in Syosset, New York, and my phone blew up, and about 15 people told me that I needed to go watch the replay of race 7 because my friends knew I was gone for the day. And I got to tell you, even on a 5-inch smartphone, that was an impressive race from Tackleful.
Yes, my phone blew up a little bit too, wondering why I didn't tell everybody at 27.
we
we had another one in the race that had been working really well, Adonis Creed, and he prefers turf now. We found that out last week. But Takapo is very talented, won very impressively first time, big step up from a maiden to a grade two, and more importantly, probably from 6.5 to a mile and an eighth. So we have our fingers crossed it all goes well.
What's that like when you have a horse that isn't breezing particularly well, and then he pops off with a fast race, a impressive victory? That's pretty exciting, huh?
Yes, it is. We always liked him. He was very talented early, and he got some sore shins, so we pin-fired him in May, June, I guess it was June, and left him in Palma and just took our time. But a very talented, well-bred colt for a great owner in Chadwell, so we're all excited, and hopefully all goes well today.
So it's Takoffel is how you say it?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I should know, but it's something about, like, insurance or coverage. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah, we'll I'll try and I will effort to find out what Takoffel means. Kieran, this isn't something you normally do. Maiden win, especially in a debut sprinting to a two-turn stakes race. That much confidence in this colt at such a young, such an early stage?
Well, we feel like we'll learn from it today. You know, really, I feel like he's going to win by three or possibly finish off the board, one of the two, just because it's a big step up. But if you look at the race, everybody's non-winners are two races. So it's hard to get another race to go and fill for these types. So we're happy to be in there. It just would have been nice to have run going a mile in between, but we didn't have that opportunity.
Talking with trainer Kieran McLaughlin, he sends out Takoffel and the Remsen. Later on today, grade two Remsen. You can hear it here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We start at 3 o'clock. Post time for the Remsen is 3:20. You won this race last year, of course, with Mohamed. Mohamed a little more seasoned than Takoffel. Any similarities between the two?
No, this is a bigger, heavier horse. Takoffel, he's got a great mind. Not that Mohamed didn't. Mohamed was a great mind, too, but he was a little bit lighter framed horse. And this horse is just really raw ability, very, very talented. He's a big stride and great mind and really not much at all. So, I mean, a similar note, but we're very high on this horse. He's very talented.
Without giving away any state secrets, I mean, he went to the lead last time, ran pretty fast early. Do you envision that a similar kind of trip going the mile and an eighth, or do you think he could rate if need be?
Yeah, we hope that he can rate him and slow him down for sure. I mean, if we can't go 21-4, 44-4, we'll be in trouble. We'll need a van at the corner pole. But hopefully he'll slow down. There's not a lot of pace. It doesn't look like on paper. So hopefully he'll be first or second, going 24-48 type of pace instead of 21-44 and be able to keep going through, the mile and eighth.
According to the Google machine, Takoffel means solidarity or mutual guarantee, okay. Almost like an insurance. That's according to them. You might want to. I think your sources might be a little better than Google Translator.
But I'm not sure what it means. I just hope it means he's a really nice 3-year-old next year.
Yeah, well, it certainly looks like it. You know, this race, I love the Remsen. It kind of gives you a gauge on horses that can go long, but it's not traditionally the greatest Kentucky Derby prep in the world. How do you feel about that?
I don't worry too much about that. Our horses have run well competing in it. Going back, Frosted ran fourth in the Derby, and Cairo Prince ran second in it. and Will Heyman was fourth in the Derby and have to win it. So I don't worry about that.
What's on the horizon, Kieran? Breeders' Cup's in the rearview mirror. You got a horse like Takaful who can hopefully put you on the Derby trail. What are we looking forward to? When are you guys shipping down to Florida?
We have 25 there with my brother Neil and Trish, his wife. They're at Palmetto's now. We're shipping daily after these horses run. We move into Florida. So I'm leaving on December 5th. We keep quite a few in New York. It's good racing. We always like to race here in the winter. And so Takaful will probably go to Florida next week sometime and go from there.
You think you'll keep him?
Come off?
Go ahead, Big.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dude. No, good. You got it. Go ahead.
You think you'll keep him on the Florida schedule, or would he maybe come back to New York to race?
We would love to come back to New York. We will probably run him down there once or twice. It might not. We might even come back up to New York at the Gotham Wood Memorial or good final races. We'll just have to see how it's going. Hopefully we're there talking about those kind of races with him.
Well, you've certainly been there the last few years, and I was going to say, you don't really stick to a game plan, which I think is a credit to your success, because, you know, you look at horses like Alpha and Frosted and Mohaman, they all took similar yet different routes to the Kentucky Derby. It's never one set schedule in the McLaughlin barn. I think that's a credit to you guys.
Thank you very much. We try and give our horses the best chance to win their prep and get in there, because that's what it's all about now on point. So we'll see how it goes, but we just hope he continues to do well and he's that tight and can get the distance.
Any other late developing 2-year-olds in the barn we should know about that are going to pay $25?
No, probably none of those, no.
Well, Colonel, thanks for everything. Great luck today with Takaful here. I'll probably see you a little bit later on. We'll be on the air, but I'll probably stop down and see you guys later. Good luck. Thanks for always saying yes when I call to ask you to come on for a few minutes. And if I don't see you, have a great winter, and we'll see you when you come back in the spring.
Okay. Thank you. Continued success with the radio, and thanks for doing it. It's great for our business. I love listening to
him. Thanks, Kieran.
All right, well, thanks for the kind words, Kieran. We'll talk to you down the road. Kieran McLaughlin, he has Takaful later on today in the Grade 2 Remsen here at the Big A. Again, Megan Devine and I will be here from 3 to 4:30 with coverage of both the Remsen and the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. I got to be honest with you, Pontiff. I'm a little more excited. I'm a big Cigar Mile guy, and I've told this story a couple of times that, you know, the flame was starting to dim a little bit last year, and then my boy Tonalist got up in the money, and it reinvigorated me. And the Cigar Mile's a race that's near and dear to my heart, because Cigar is one of my favorite horses. But I'm looking forward to this Remsen and to that KJC later on today for these 2-year-olds.
Yeah, the Remsen is always a good race. It's one of my favorites. But the Cigar Mile this year is very good race. It's very competitive. It's usually a good race. It's a Grade One. It's a stallion maker race, as people like to say. Everybody knows the Cigar Mile. It's a almost an American classic. I know you can't use that word exactly, but it's a very good race. So there's some excellent racing today all over the place, and it's going to be fun to watch. I was thinking about going to Churchill Downs, but I think I'm going to ensconce myself in front of the television and watch all the races instead of just a few.
Well, I was going to say, it's the Stars of Tomorrow, all those 2-year-old races. You better get that list out.
Oh, I got the list already. I printed it out this morning because you never know what's going to come up. And I got the list right here. It's actually in my hands even as we speak. It's color-coded.
Did you cross-reference the list with the contenders in the Derby Future Pool?
Yeah, I did, but it, you know, a lot of them like that are Mike Battaglia does a good job of picking those horses out, and they're ordinarily the horses you'd have on the top of your list. So, you know, other than the grass horses, like I have Oscar Performance rated relatively high because he's an awesome horse, and we found out from Brian Lynch the other day that he's probably not going to run on the dirt. He's going to stay on the turf. So, but still, he's one of the better horses. Him and Good Samaritan, very very high up on the list, even though they're more turf than dirt. But my number one horse, obviously, like everybody else in the universe, Classic Empire, Mastery. I think you got to consider him. Practical Joke, Gunavera, Three Rules, California Diamond, McCracken, Beach Bum, Cindergard, Tackiful, Wild Shot, Rusty Arnold's horse, Uncontested, El Arib, who was very impressive winning, No Dozing, Irish War Cry, Reckling, Running Mate, Gormley, Klimt, Theory, Keep Talking, Motown, Hot Sean, Saints Fan, And the list goes on and on. I'm not going to read them all, but I mean, yeah, pretty much, you know, I think if you watch all the races and you rate them, and of course they go up and down. I spend a few minutes every day reassessing and adding and subtracting and, you know, just seeing where everybody's at.
You have my sneak on there.
Your sneak?
Good Samaritan.
Yeah,
because Bill Mott actually flirted with the idea of running him in the juvenile, to the point where he was first preferenced into the juvenile in the Breeders' Cup.
Right.
And then they decided to run him in the turf. And I don't know if that was a function of just keeping him on the turf for now, realizing just how deep that juvenile was, and maybe that wasn't the best jumping off point to try him on the dirt. I think it was a smart move. In hindsight, skipping the juvenile, but I would be very, very surprised if he's not on dirt sooner rather than later.
Doesn't he have a dirt start, or am I? Is that
no? He was two for two.
Okay,
he was 2 for 2 on a turf, and then he got beat. He didn't have the best trip in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile turf, and he got beat in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile turf. But now he's never run on the dirt, so I'm looking forward to, especially. You know, after thinking about it at the Breeders' Cup, I'm really looking forward to this horse trying dirt for the first time.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed when I looked at the list and I saw that I had Tackiful rated 12. And if you take the two turf horses out, then that would move him up to 10.
Right.
You know, so I obviously thought enough of his race to rate him up that highly. So, but... we'll see what happens today. There'll be a lot of adjusting today. You can check with me next week. Because after these races are run today, there's going to be some new shooters. Some horses are going to drop down. And hopefully I get to add a few more to my list. So.
Yeah. Best time of the year. Love watching these two-year-olds start to develop and start to make the list. It's not the only list you got to make and check twice this time of year. The list for Santa, of course, is number one, but my two-year-old list, maybe the 1 and 1A, if you will.
Yeah.
Time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Champion Untappable to be bred to Frankel. Champion Untappable, winner of the 2014 Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff at Grade 1, will be bred to unbeaten 2011 European Horse of the Year Frankel for her initial mating in 2017, according to David Fisk, manager of owner Winchell Thoroughbreds. In the aftermath of Gunrunner's triumph in the November 25th Grade 1 Clark Handicap, Fisk stated that the plans call for Untappable to head to the National Stud in Newmarket and that the daughter of Tappet will likely remain in Europe for 2 seasons. I think it will probably be Frankel both years, unless they take Arrogate over there and stand him or something, Fisk said. Owner Ron Winchell's concern was, we'll probably get a turf horse, and that's not our thing. But if it's pretty, it will be valuable, and that is our thing. Who knows if it will be a turf horse or not? I don't think Frankel is getting a lot of opportunities on dirt. There are so many North American horses in those pedigrees. Who knows what he might throw? And that wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Blood Horse Magazine is the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, and more. If you're not reading Blood Horse, sign up today and don't miss another issue at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. So, Pontiff, I admittedly, if I need to work, and some people will say it would be the handicapping, but if I need to work on one aspect of my game, it would be the breeding end of the business. I do not know much about it. My dad did some bloodstock work, but he was basically, you know, a small-time trainer and a jocks agent most of his life. So I was not exposed really to that side of the industry. Is this common to send a mare to Europe and keep her there for such a long time?
It's not common, and it's a little puzzling. I don't know. I understand after listening to Mr. Winchell's comments, you know, why he's doing it. But without looking, I just kind of found out about it yesterday, and I haven't really looked at the pedigrees and you know, kind of mapped it out in my head whether I think it's a good idea or not. The monetary idea is good, and obviously Frankel's been a sensation at stud. Untappable wasn't a turf horse per se, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, you can look people. One thing I think people miss about pedigrees, they always say, who's the horse by, right? That's the first thing everybody wants to know, who the sire is. But the mare is the other half, and all of the pedigree is important. You have to look at all of the horses in the pedigree. It's not just who they're by. It's not just who they're out of. It's the combination of things. And, you know, if you're studying pedigrees, and we all know that, you know, you can have the most beautiful pedigree in the world, but if you don't have the athleticism and the parts to put that pedigree to use, then it doesn't matter anyway. So there's a lot to it, just, you know, besides the names in the book. And so it's, you know, it is a little curious. It's not ordinarily done, but you're seeing now that the world is becoming a smaller and smaller place. And it's not a difficult thing. In the old days, you used to have to put a horse on a boat and ship them across the ocean. You know, now they hop on a plane and they're there in 6 or 7 hours at their new farm, and everybody's happy. And if you want to bring them back, it's just like you and I, you know, going to Royal Ascot and coming home. It's the same kind of deal. So the world's a smaller place, and you're going to see this happen more and more. We saw Nouveau Record the other day at Del Mar, you know, win a Japanese horse winning at Del Mar. Now, granted, she was here and all of that, but fantastic, you know, fantastic that horses can race all over the world and owners can come in and enjoy the experience of racing at Del Mar and go back to Japan and tell their friends, hey, this place is really cool. Now they're thinking about coming back for the Breeders' Cup again, which is great for our sport and for the Breeders' Cup. So it's a whole different, it's not your daddy's horse racing, let's put it that way. And it's a good thing. By the way, I looked up that tweet. Mike Hogan from the Daily Racing Forum tweeted it out 3 days ago. For those betting Kentucky Derby futures, keep this in mind. Last colt to win on dirt as a 2-year-old at Saratoga and then win the Derby was Swale. So,
wow.
There you have it.
That's stunning.
That is stunning.
That is stunning.
I was shocked.
So that's 1983. So he won in 83. He won the Derby in 84. So you're looking at over 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an unbelievable number.
Yeah. So, and we all know the great 2-year-old racing in Saratoga. So,
right.
But obviously, you know, the turf horses do better, you know, like Big Brown, for instance. So,
amazing. That's I guess that's why you had to qualify that on dirt, because, of course, Big Brown won on turf up at the Spa. Amazing. Well, that's a great job right there, and they do a great job up at Woodbine. Great purses, world-class amenities, and an extended racing season are only a few reasons why you should race your horse at Woodbine Racetrack. Woodbine offers a premier experience to all friends of the horse racing community and is committed to innovation, playing host to over 130 live race days in 2016 and 2017, with an average of over $500,000 offered daily in purses. The meet starts in spring and concludes in early December. You'll get access to world-class trainers, a modern backstretch, great training surfaces, and so much more. So why not share in the profit by racing at Woodbine Racetrack? To start your racing journey, visit woodbineentertainment.com/due north to learn more. Pontiff, I'm going to leave you now.
Okay.
The rest of the show is yours. Rajiv is in the can. You got Ellis a little later on. Enjoy the rest of the morning. This has been fun. I will be back at 3 o'clock this afternoon with Megan Devine. We will have exclusive coverage of the Grade 2 Remsen and Grade 1 Cigar Mile exclusively at the website, horseracingradio.net. It's the Pontiff the rest of the way. He'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire and the sire of a Breeders' Cup sprint winner with his first crop.
Trey Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Trey Fong's the leader. Trey Fong has won.
In addition to Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint and King's Bishop winner Trey Fong, Gio Ponti is also represented by Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Leparu. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front. And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings have been well-received in 2016. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
A Grade 1 winner at 2 and fastest winner of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity in nearly 20 years.
Into Mischief wins the Cash Call Futurity!
The sire of three Kentucky Derby colts from his first two crops, including...
Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave.
The Louisiana Derby to the Louisiana Bred, Vickers in Trouble!
Into Mischief's biggest and best book of two-year-olds is coming in 2016. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Frosted has gone on by and he has exploded. He is absolutely blowing his competition away. Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile.
Godolphin Racing's Frosted set the Met Mile Stakes record when he won that historic Grade 1 event at Belmont Park by over 14 lengths on June 16th of this year. He also achieved the highest buyer speed figure of any horse to race in 2016, a whopping 123 in the Met Mile, outdoing top performers like Travers and Breeders' Cup Classic winner Arrogate and international star California Chrome. Frosted is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Frosted also posted another Grade 1 victory in the Whitney at Saratoga this year. A son of leading sire Tappet, Frosted will stand his inaugural 2017 season at Darley for a $50,000 stands and nurses fee. For more information, go to DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The field now heads for home, and it is Bass River Road who takes over the lead from Street Lord. Bass River Road in front. Jeter out in the middle of the track is gaining ground. All About Ashley is there, but Bass River Road is still in front with a 16th to the finish. Bass River Road, length and a half. All About Ashley, Jeter, they come for the finish. Bass River Road wins it, three quarters of a length. All About Ashley was second, and Jeter finished third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld in our Lexington, Kentucky studio. And that was John Embriol with the call of Bass River Road. And the reason that race was so important was it was Rajiv Miraj's first victory back after his recovery from two major spills. Rajiv, a wonderful guy and really struggled along the way in his comeback. Lots of setbacks, two steps forward, one step back And I spent a lot of time with him down in Florida this past year as he was going through rehab. And one thing about Rajiv is he's a resilient guy and he loves our game. And Anthony Stabile and I were able to catch up with him yesterday for a few minutes and talk about his comeback.
Joined now by Rajiv Miraj, who has made it all the way back from a couple of harrowing spills here on the NYRA circuit. Raj, it's Anthony and Jude. Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Rajiv, congratulations. First win back. We heard the rejoin clip of Bass River Road taking the second here at Aqueduct on Wednesday. 1,674 wins in your career. I would think that's up there as one of the most gratifying, is it not?
Yeah, it definitely is one of the most gratifying wins. I've won. It surpasses even some of the biggest wins in my career emotionally, because to get back to riding, the obstacles that I had to overcome and the work that I had to put in, I've never dedicated myself to anything in my life as much as I did to actually being able to ride again and getting my body back to health. I really had to put in a lot of dedication and did a lot of extra. And to feel like I actually paid off, and it was just such a satisfying win, not only for me, but also for the journey that I've been through and my family that's there supporting me. And they've been through the rough times with me, helping me up with all the recovery and all that. So it was just a great win for all of us.
You know, the impressive thing, the physical work that you did was phenomenal. And, you know, we were together most of the winter down in Florida this year, and just to watch you go through it was heart-wrenching, and I know how badly you wanted to get back. But the mental aspect of coming back is probably the toughest thing. The physical work, you're an athlete, and you're used to working out and doing things, so you can get by that. But the mental aspect, when you see your friends are out there riding and winning, you're seeing horses that you rode to victories, and they're winning, and you're sitting on the sidelines, that's the hardest part, isn't it?
Yeah, the hardest part of it mentally is actually when you're going through the phases and you know, you're in bad physical shape like I was. I was in bad health, a lot of pain and stuff, and then things start going good for a couple of days. And you're like, yeah, you feel like it's going up. And then the next day, it's all like starting from scratch again. That's the hardest part. It's like there's a lot of times that I was frustrated and kind of thinking like, am I delusional thinking that I'm actually going to be able to ride again? And, you know, even though the doctors say that, you know, the way I felt was I didn't feel athletic. I was in a lot of pain. And so mentally, it's hard to keep yourself motivated to think that you're actually going to get to that point, because I was very far from the point of riding. So,
Raj, let's backtrack a little bit. We kept in touch both personally and professionally throughout your journey back. Had you on various shows on the network a couple of times. We just always wanted to keep checking in and let HR and Nation know how you were doing. Everybody was always asking about you. What was it like, and when did the doctors give you the green light and say, okay, you can get back out in the morning and start getting on horses?
Well, the doctors pretty much gave me the green light earlier in the year. In regards to my bones, they were healed, but I wasn't. My bones are healed, so I would be able to, if I were to ride a horse and fall, I'd be able to absorb an impact and not be further damaged. But the thing was, I didn't feel good. Even though they said that my injury seems healed, I didn't feel like that. I was in bad shape. I felt far from the the athleticism that I need and the health and the strength that I need to ride horses. So because I was in pain and I was weak and my mobility was bad because I wore an upper body brace for 9 months, which kept my spine aligned straight to make the bones healed. But what that also did was that limited my mobility, my range of motion. It took a long time of therapy to actually reverse that to where I got flexible again and stuff. So I was actually cleared my bone-wise from a few months before I rode.
Talking with Rajiv Miraj, who just got back to the saddle early November, back to the winner's circle this past Wednesday aboard Bass River Road. All right, so you're in front. You turn for home. I was booting and scooting as hard as I could. You were working a little harder than me, I can tell you that. You're at the eighth pole. What's going through your mind?
It's like any other race going through my mind. At that point, I felt like there was a challenge coming from a horse on the outside that was closing in, and my horse was giving me all that he had, but it seemed like the margin was getting, you know, the horse was cutting into my margin. So obviously I was just trying to motivate him, keep him, you know, to get everything out of him so he could last the next furlong, and thankfully, he did.
Wow, you had to ride a whole furlong. that's a sinking feeling, huh? When the horse is tiring and you still got an eighth of a mile to go. They didn't make it easy on you, huh?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you get a little desperate. Like, please come wire. I want the wire to come. But I wanted the wire to come faster than the four horse that was coming after me.
All right, so we got the win under our belt. The next question, of course, is do I have my poker buddy for the winter in New York, or are you going to go pilfer all that money down in South Florida?
Wow. I mean, it's like one of the hardest decisions to make right now because there is just nothing cut in stone that makes this decision easy. There's nothing there's nothing outweighing Florida, or there's nothing that, you know, that seems so clear cut to make a decision. So at the moment, I'm trying to play day by day, but I know the timing is kind of short. I have to kind of make a decision soon. Whatever decision I make, I'm going to have to stick with it. But I really don't know. What do you think?
I think you're Jamaican, and you don't need to be in the snow. I think you need to be where it's warm. That's what I think. Now the big A's got another. He's got another side of the story.
don't take my buddy away from me. I need my buddy up here for the winter.
Yeah, well, so, I like to have him in Florida.
Did you guys see my Twitter poll?
I did. I voted.
So I put that question on Twitter. What do you guys think? Should I go to Florida or for Gulfstream or stay here in Aquino? After one day, about 12 hours of the poll being up, there was approximately like over 550 votes. It was split dead in the middle, 50-50.
Wow.
Absolutely nothing outweighed the other one. And I'm thinking, that's the way I feel in my head right now. It is so.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second, though. Does weight count? Because my vote should certainly count more than other people's, probably any other of the 900 votes you got in this thing.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, that's probably why it's leaning towards Aqueduct, I guess, at the moment.
Normally, wherever I am, something is leaning. Again, we're talking with Rajiv Miraj. Raj, you win that race for Jeremiah, who's a good friend of yours. Make it a little more special to have, you know, your friends in your corner in every way possible, the better part of the last year and a half, you know, emotionally, literally, physically. We saw, you know, there were more famous picture tweeted out was you in that back race you were talking about with a full on, beard and Graham Motion sitting next to you. A little more special winning it for a friend like Jeremiah.
Yeah, it's definitely, winning any race is great, and always for people that you're familiar with and you know personally. Also, Mike Rapoli, who was the owner of the horse, he's a good friend of mine, and he's always been somebody that has helped me out, you know, it guiding me throughout the years and supported me with mounts, and to win for him, that was very special as well. Two guys that have given me a lot of opportunities in the past, and to see that they still have faith in me and give me opportunities and still have my back pretty much, it's a very good feeling, because sometimes when you're down, it's hard to have, you know, people stick by you.
Well, you never lost your smile. I can say that, even though you were going through a lot of stuff physically and mentally, you always found your smile someplace, and that says a lot about you.
Well, and you know what that is? I really feel that has a lot to do with my family, because, you know, at the end of the day, my happiness and joy primarily is with my family. So whether I can ride horses or not, which is my passion and what I love to do, I have so many great people around me, like my wife and my parents and my brothers and cousins and aunts, and we're a close-knit, loving family, and we always like to have fun, the Mirage. They just like to enjoy themselves and be happy. You would think that we're all billionaires the way we smile all the time. It's just something in my family, but we're happy.
Well, Raj, listen, before we let you go, if you had to pinpoint one thing that was the toughest on the road back, just one thing, what was it?
Pinpoint one thing. Overcoming frustration. The frustration when you're 6 months, 8 months in the injury and you can't bend over to put your sock on, and you're frustrated that you can't even do that, to overcome that and not get mentally depressed and deterred from the end goal, which is being healthy, and to overcome that and keep pushing forward, keep working out, you know, just overcoming frustration and just keeping that positive attitude. That's the toughest thing, because there's a lot of things that you can interpret very negatively throughout that process, and it can be frustrating. So I think that's the hardest part, is the, you know, to mentally stay focused and not get frustrated.
Well, it's great seeing you back. It was certainly great seeing you back in the winner's circle. Hopefully there are many, many more to come, whether it is here in the Big Apple this winter or down at Gulfstream Park. You know, we wish you nothing but the best. You've been a good friend to the network, and I hope there's hundreds of more winners and thousands of more winners to come in your career.
Thank you. I hope so. Thank you, and it's always nice talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, Rajiv, he went through a lot, and I got to witness some of it. He stayed away from the track for a long time, and when he finally got his back brace off and that, he finally went out to the races to support his family. I think it was his cousin had a horse in one day, and I saw him out there, and I was so delighted that he finally came to the races. And then later on, he helped Mike and I cover the Dubai World Cup for HRRN, and that was a lot of fun. He'd ridden in Dubai and had a lot of interesting insights, and he little by little started coming around the races more and more. And like I said in the interview, he never lost his smile. One night I remember we went to dinner, and he pulled up in his fancy white car, and he got out of the car, and he had this big grin on his face. He was happy to go to dinner and hang out with us, and just a magnificent guy. And we wish him all the best as he goes forward back to the races. It's got to be one of those things where riding races has to be one of the greatest experiences of all time, because every jock that gets injured, even ones that are injured severely, they cannot wait to get back on a horse. This is HRRN, and you're listening to the Equine Forum. We'll be back after these words.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. Divisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Hawkville just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy. A world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. We'll bring you live racing coast-to-coast from tracks like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Gulfstream Park West, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Churchill Downs, and more. Plus, we'll have interviews with racing's biggest names and expert handicapping of all the action. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, on Sirius 219, XM 206, and always streaming live worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Speedmeister comes to the top of the stretch in front. Ballandine up for second on the outside. And on the far outside, McCracken continues to make steady progress. Whip is out on Speedmeister. Ballandine's in front, but not for long. McCracken goes right on by. McCracken rockets by the field, opens up by one to the final 16th. From behind, Guess Sweet trying to muster up a rally with Silent Decree. Ballandine fights on, but down to the finish, it's all McCracken. By three in the end, from off the pace to win the Street Sense. Ballandine was second, Guess Sweet was third, and Silent Decree was fourth.
McCracken winning for Ian Wilkes. We talked to Ian earlier, very high on this horse today in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs. And now we're going to be joined by the Uber Capper, and I know that's going to make a lot of people excited. The Uber Capper hasn't been on for a while. And he's actually been on the vets list, so we'll check in with him. Good morning, Ellis.
Good morning to you. You're the vets list. But the first thing, listening to that clip of McCracken, I can't wait till he goes down to Florida, hopefully, and hear Colmus. And Colmus is going to say, I know. I hope Larry's listening. Unleash the McCracken. Because I know that's something Larry would do.
Well, Larry's actually not going to be calling the races at Gulfstream this year. So, yeah,
I've been paying attention.
He's got the winter off, so to speak. So we'll see what happens. But how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate it. Feeling great. Healing up fine. Just taking it easy. Luckily, things happen in the winter, so were going good, but up to handicapping, I actually felt good enough to do full cards for Del Mar and Aqueduct. They love the card at Aqueduct, and of course we're going to talk about it, and these two-year-old races are starting to get me excited, starting with, of course, a few weeks ago with the Breeders' Cup, and just catching up. We lost Not This Time, but Classic Empire, leading contender, and then waiting to see. Maybe we'll see a couple breakouts today in the two-year-old races across the country.
Yeah, we're gonna take people down that road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway.
This is the Road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway.
Well, we got a couple of big races today. The Remsen and the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. The Remsen is at the on that Aqueduct card that you talked fondly about, and you have a full card report on Equibase for this race and all the other races. Let's talk about the Remsen, mile and an eighth, grade two, $300,000 purse. Who do you like?
Well, it's not nearly as wide open as the Jockey Club, unfortunately, because Tack Uphold stands out, and everybody seems to know it. I mean, 7-5 on the morning line. We all measure two-year-olds a little different way. You, with all your history training, and me looking at them, and also looking at figures and what two-year-olds earn this type of year in terms of Equibase figures. Also look at the buyers, but more the Equibase figure because I have a ballpark. And just to put it in perspective, I mean, Classic Empire got a 1.17 Equibase speed figure, which you really don't earn until you're, a fully mature three-year-old, like the end of the year, like Breeders' Cup three-year-olds. So that was pretty incredible. But Tackerville caught a 101 in winning his debut, and just powerfully, and even though he went wire-to-wire, I don't think he needs the lead. They're putting Lasix on for the even playing field, and of course, we could discuss ad nauseum the reasons for doing that. But when you look at the race he ran, 21-4 on an easy lead and just powering home by eight. I mean, it's tough. You and I both know that, and everybody out there, two-year-olds can improve boatloads from one race to another. They all improve at the same race, and not beating him. So, somebody could leapfrog, but in this particular case, I'm looking to see it. And, of course, with that breeding, Bernardine has a distorted humor mare. I've got no issues going 9 furlongs. So in this case, unfortunately, I'm going to go against my motto, and I'm going to just take Tackleful and play him. I'm not going to make a win bet. I'm going to play the old exact as a win bet philosophy where, betting $5 to win is like, so I'll take the same $5 and play them in exact as over the one, Tell Me a Fooky Story, one of Pletcher's pair, the three, Hookup, who also won well a one-turn mile race, the two, Newman, for Albertron. He was also getting Lasix, the seven, You're to Blame, and the eight, Motown. Seemed like the contenders. Did you have a different opinion, or you think he's a standout?
Well, just a little slight different opinion. I mean, I think Tackleful's a very, very nice horse, and we had Kieran on earlier this morning, and he talked about the fact he would have liked to have a mile race in him before running a mile and an eighth, but he doesn't have that luxury, and he thinks the horse is up to it. He also mentioned that he thinks the horse will probably be on the lead. He's hoping they can just slow him down a little bit. He said, obviously, if they went 21-4 and 44-4 again, he was gonna need a van in the stretch, So I think he knows this horse has a lot of speed, and he also said his phone was blowing up when he won it 12.80-1, and everybody wondered why he didn't even mention him. But that's the price you pay for being a trainer sometimes. A horse that I was interested in is No Dozing. I had a good impression of this horse when he ran at Keeneland in the Breeders' Futurity. I thought he was a nice-looking horse, and I like his pedigree. He's by Union Rags out of a pulpit mare. That kind of screams Kentucky Derby to me. And I just thought he didn't have the best of trips that day against Classic Empire, and I think he can improve. So he's a horse that I, am considering. I don't know what price he's going to be, but that'd be where I would go in the exact if.
He's actually the second choice on the morning line, 4-1, which I think is kind of odd, but I guess that's all the homage they're playing to Classic Empire.
Yeah, well, partly Classic Empire, and I don't know, he just made a great impression on the track, and I didn't think he ran badly at all. He's also been breezing well up at Fairhill. So there's lots of things to like. And Arno Delacour, I mean, he's had a fantastic year.
Oh,
the guy's won 75 races this year. So, he's an interesting possibility. But, I'm a little bit higher on Takaful now that we talked to Kieran this morning. And he thinks the horse is a pretty special horse. So he's had good luck in this race before, and we'll see how it goes today. But I certainly think he's got a chance.
Well, I can't disagree. You know, it's interesting. Also, you talk about No Dozing coming out of the Breeders' Futurity, and we're going to talk about the Jockey Club in a minute. But there's a horse in that race, Wild Shot, who ran third. So we could see, you know, what you call an instantaneous key race, or get an idea, because if No Dozing runs big, folks are going to want to take a stronger look at Wild Shot, who finished, you know, third and fourth behind Classic Empire, the eventual Breeders' Cup winner.
Yeah, that happens, and it can really pay off sometimes when you notice that during a race card. A few years ago, when Wicked Strong won the big two-year-old race in New York, a lot of horses had come out of the Holy Bull and won that day, and my wife Gretchen pointed that out to me, and we ended up cashing a nice bet on Wicked Strong on our way home from Aqueduct. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, Wild Shot, he's a horse that's on a lot of people's lists, and he's run three times, been in the money all three times with a maiden victory two races back and third last time out in the Breeders' Futurity. Now, we've moved on, evidently, to the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. That's all right.
Push you through it.
That's all right. It's a great. We're not in any rush here. We've got a few minutes left. Grade two, $200,000 purse. And, of course, this is a race that oftentimes people say it's great to get a race over Churchill Downs before the Kentucky Derby. And this is a race that a lot of people point to for that particular reason. I don't know what your theory is on that, but I guess it certainly can't hurt.
I like it when two-year-olds race in the fall at Churchill. I mean, I think it's important to look at it. You know, you and I look at this, but certainly in the spring, to see if they've got that race. Of course, workouts are important too, but having the previous experience is a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Who did you come up with in this race?
Well, Wild Shot's my second pick. But I really am high on a horse here. His name is Uncontested. He's got the 12 post. It's my only concern. But there was a key maiden race. I think it's going to be a key maiden race. The second horse already come back to win Untrapped at Keeneland on October 19th. And there were three horses I liked. I walked in to talk to our guys, the chart callers, which you know, Steve and Matt. And they said, man, the word was really out on this horse. And yet he got away at 10-1. And he blasted off. And there was nothing that any horse could do in that race. He broke a little green, he got the lead, and he was geared down at the end, which you don't see that comment much from any of the Kentucky chart callers. When you see handily or easily or geared down, pay attention. It was actually the best equibase speed figure in the race, 102, so that principle I use of they're all going to move forward at the same rate. He's tough. He's come back to work at Churchill. I mean, he's been training at Keeneland. He was training at Keeneland after his win. He worked at Keeneland November 10th, and then Catalano shipped him to Churchill for work on the 19th, which is, you know, pretty smart. And he worked best with 30, 59, and 6 breezing. Channing Hill, of course, Catalano's son-in-law, rides the horse. And I'm really high on him. A Wild Shot, I can't knock. And I can't knock him cracking off the win. Wilkes is just heating up. I think he had another winner or two yesterday. I think he won one of the stakes the last couple of days as well. I'd even look at the Lucas's Warriors Club, who put blinkers on and he ran the best race of his life. He'd be running okay, second behind Wild Shot, second, and then he won. And the blinkers just really, he won a little stake at Churchill with the Spencer Farm Stallion Stakes at 7 furlongs. I don't know, you probably know better than me, the mile of 16th breeding of the Warriors Reward out of City Dancer Mare, but I would use him. But I think Uncontested is a great horse to play in this race because I'm telling you, he had so much gas left in the tank last time, Jude.
Yeah, well, he's a very talented horse, and the word was out. Bruno DiGiulio had a big work on him, and the 10-1 price was awful juicy. So he certainly looks tough. He's kind of in the same vein as Takaful, who, you know, has the 6.5 furlong big win and now is stretching out to a mile and a 16th.
And early speed, but in this case, unlike the Koffel, there might be other early speed in this race, another issue.
Yeah, and he's going to have to blast off from the 12th hole. I think you're right about that. That might be a little bit of a knock. But anyway, he's a talented horse, and these races today are going to be super fun to see how they go. I really appreciate you taking the time, Ellis.
And, my pleasure.
Hope you continue on your upward climb back to 100%, and we'll get back with you in a little while.
Just like Rajiv, I'll be back.
All right, sounds good. Well, this is Jude Felden. You've been listening to the Equine Forum. Don't forget to listen to the Cigar Mile with Anthony and Megan this afternoon. And we've got the Claiming Crown next week with Mike and I down in Florida. So for Lee Della Pina and the rest of our crew at HRN, have a great day. Good night, Barbados.